passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the second reading, which was also the gospel for today. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This imagery of the garden is the most often used throughout the Bible. And of course, that makes good sense because after all, this whole business of our journey through this world started in the garden. And because we didn't do very well the first time through that garden, the stories that Jesus teaches, the parables that he uses about gardens have great difficulty in them. And one, he teaches about an enemy that comes and sows weeds in the middle of the field that grow up with the wheat. And another, he talks about the harvest being ready, but having too few workers to bring it in. In today's gospel, he talks about several conditions of the seed, his word, which falls into the garden of our hearts. And in those words, we learn a lot about the nature of our life, our purpose, and our journey here on this earth. We don't need to really worry very much about the first condition, right? That's the seed that lands on hard ground and blows away right away. That's for the people who don't come to church, and we can talk about them a different day. Today, we're going to talk about the people that do come to church and the condition that we find in our hearts, whether it be on that rocky ground or choked with the cares of this world, but ultimately to bring forth fruit 100-fold. In Maryland, you guys are spoiled. You have incredibly beautiful land to farm. You know, it's flat, the land is fertile. You can bring in your machines, the tractors, and you can plant the seeds and weed and collect the crops, you know, very easily. But where I grew up in New Hampshire, the character of gardens were very different. The land is hilly. The gardens themselves are rocky, granite. And the cold makes us have a very, very short growing season. And the character of the gardens, that because of the conditions that we have, aren't that they're the kind of corporate farms that have taken over Maryland. They're small farms. They're personal family farms. And I think that's the kind of farm that Jesus is talking about when he talks about the gardening in this parable. In New England, we have all these rock walls. They're everywhere. They ring every field, and they even go through the woods and across property lines. They don't seem to have any purpose. But what they are the remnants of the growing, because what would happen is that to plant in New England, you would have to pull all the rocks out of the ground. And it takes a while, because there were a lot of rocks. And you would pile them up at the edge of the field so there'd be some place for them to grow. And then once you were done, and you had your year, you'd come back to plant the second year, and you'd have just as many rocks as you had before. And the reason for that is that the ice and the cold and the frost get down into the bedrock, and they get into every little crevice and every little crack in that bedrock, and they work and break that rock until it is lots of small rocks. And then as the ground warms up and freezes and warms up and freezes, that new rock works its way up until it's at just submerged, the place where it will break your plow, a place where it will keep the seed that you plant from having good, deep roots. In our lives, in our spiritual lives, that same rock exists. The bedrock is our faith. But as we go through our lives, our tendencies to selfishness, to pride, to envy, that's the frost and the ice and the weather that work on the bedrock of our souls, break it up, and then move up as temptations to be selfish, so that when we would plant seed and have it be profitable for the purpose of glorifying Jesus, there is no room. The land is shallow and the roots will not take. And we have to work on that. We have to take those rocks out of our field again and again and again. You know, we would think that after we were baptized that we'd be done with that work, but we're not. It's work that we need to be attendant to every single year. And so as we get ready to come into Easter season, it's time to go and dig the rocks out and grow the walls at the side of our garden, the rock walls. Now, once we have our garden cleared and we have good, fertile soil, you'd think we'd be all set on the way home. But we're not. Because you know what else grows in good soil? Weeds. Right. You know, you never see a petunia or an ear of corn growing out of a sidewalk, but you'll see a dandelion pretty much every time, right? You can't keep the weeds from growing, and weeds grow much faster than seeds, which is why they choke out the seeds. And if you don't think that that's also true in our spiritual lives, think about how much faster gossip travels than praise. Think about how much more quickly we are to be greedy and to hold on to what we have than we are to give. Think about how often we are prone to self-pity instead of forgiveness. Weeds grow fast in our good soil, and so we have to be very careful that we pull them out, that we don't let them choke the virtues that we have, the good seed that Christ puts into us to behave well and to reflect his glory into the world, to be his hands of love and healing in the world. In order to do that, we have to make sure that there is room. And that means hard work. It means hoeing, pulling those weeds. Because if we don't, we become like a field of small oak trees covered in kudzu, bending to the ground, choked and darkened. And that's the condition of our souls if we aren't doing the work of tending our garden. But when we do tend the garden, when the Word of God does get deep soil, and when we keep the weeds, the cares of our life from choking that soil, then what happens is it blooms, and it doesn't just bloom one seed to one flower, it blooms one seed to a harvest, 100-fold, at least 100-fold. And you think about it, there's not one of us here who in the course of our lives don't touch 100 people as the hands of Christ. Even the most insular gamer crouched in his room playing on his console is still going to touch 100 people in his life. 100 people for whom they are, we are specifically the face of Jesus Christ, the face of love, the face of forgiveness, and the face of salvation. That is what we're meant to be. That is the purpose of our being in the garden. That's the purpose of having that seed placed in our heart so that we will grow and reflect the love of God into the world. Now we know how to garden in a real garden, a rock garden. Right? You get a shovel, you get a hoe, you get your hose. You know how to put that together and grow your flowers. How do we do that in our spiritual gardens? Well, the way we do it is we look to Jesus. We look to the way that he prepared himself for his ministry. Because what we're talking about when we talk about seeds growing 100-fold is preparing for our ministry to go into the world and to reflect the love of God. To get ready for his ministry, Jesus went into the desert and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. He separated himself from the cares and the anxieties and the worries of the world. He put himself in a place where he could think about who he really was, why he was really here, where it is he was meant to lead us. And that's what we do in the church. In 10 days, we begin our 40 days of preparation, getting ready to rise with Christ as the harvest of his resurrection. And during our 40 days, that's our time that we need to dig deep down, clear those rocks away, figure out how to get the roots of our faithfulness and the roots of our virtue so that they can thrive and grow. It's the time when we need to think, stop worrying. One of the things you give up for Lent is worrying, anxiety, and fear. Have faith. Have faith that God has good intent for you. Put aside the cares of this world and think for a little bit and pray for a little bit, all of us, that we know who we are and that we know the opportunities that we have to be Christ in this world, to be the healing that he would be if his hands were there, but they're not. Our hands are there, and it is through our hands that he heals and that he loves in this world. And at the end of that Lent, at the end of 40 days of good prayer, of reflection, of fasting, of trying to put away the cares of this world and concentrate on who we are and why we are here and where we are going, then we will blossom in that garden, coming forth 100-fold, touching lives in every aspect of our life, reflecting Christ to them and bringing them to salvation with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.